Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this August 9th, 2009 edition of the program, you'll hear about Sean Farquhar, Russ Stevens, the Internet, and FISM, and stay tuned later to hear how Drew Thomas could be the first Magic winner of America's Got Talent. But here to help me with all of this is a veteran of this here podcast. He's a creator, a performer, and a friend of the site. His newest effect is entitled Bizarro's Color-Changing Spongeball, and you can read all of his rantings at Why Am I Stuck in Magician Hell, which is one of our favorite industry blogs. His name is Bizarro. How you doing, Biz?
What's up, man?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. I think the last time we talked was on the one with me and Smoothini, when we were on the other podcast that you do.
Yes, you were on the Magic Stars podcast, and actually you and Smooth are actually still kind of working on the same project, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show. But first, I'd like to remind the listeners, if you guys would like to fire back on anything you hear, email show@itricks.com. Remember, that is show@itricks.com. And thank you. The feedback has been great so far these last couple weeks, so keep it coming. But before we get started with the news, I want to remind everybody that Trick Shop Magic has, and hopefully always will be, partially the reason why this podcast comes to you each and every week. Not only is Trick Shop Magic a real-life brick-and-mortar shop there in the Old City Temecula area, but also they can be visited at TrickShopMagic.com. And as we've mentioned for the last couple weeks, Sam Blankenship, the proprietor of Trick Shop Magic, is running a fantastic contest. All you have to do is go become a fan of Trick Shop Magic on Facebook, which I am, and hopefully if you are not yet, you should be, because each Friday he does a little drawing, and one of those fans get a $50 gift certificate to TrickShopMagic.com. This week's winner is Tony Baronio. Now, I hope I said that right. Bizarro, here, I'll give you the spelling, and you tell me how you think it's pronounced. Baronio. How do you think that's pronounced?
Could be Borneo, but there's an A in there, so that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I almost love Baronio. I really, if it's not Baronio, Tony should really consider just pronouncing it like that, because it's very fun to say. Hi, I'm Tony Baronio.
Indeed.
Marketing. Tony Baronio here. You can just imagine that.
My first and that last name rhyme. Yay.
Exactly. You can just, you know, imagine, you know, you're calling somebody on a big high pressure negotiation, like Mr. Smith, Tony Baronio on line one. It's just, it's inspiring. But anyway, no matter how you pronounce his name, he is 50 Trick Shop Magic dollars richer right now. And you can be too. For the next 2 weeks, Sam's going to be taking a drawing of all the Facebook fans of Trick Shop Magic. Just log on to the Facebook and become a fan. Because, hey, magic is magic, and it's even better when it's free. So, TrickShopMagic.com. Go visit.
I actually just accidentally got a Facebook the other day. I wasn't happy about it, but now I have it, so I'm stuck with it.
Really? Well, yeah, it is kind of fun. And actually, the magic community on there is really bustling. I'm really kind of you know, I don't know. I've gotten more into it lately, but
yeah,
anyhow.
You know, it's interesting. I know, and most of it is Chris Karpiak's fault. So
yes, oh well, he's. I'll tell you what. One day we're all going to realize that we are 1 degree away from everybody in the magic industry, and it's Chris Karpiak's fault. That guy is social butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. A FISM came to a close last week, but the bickering seems to have just begun. Tempers flared on many online industry hotbeds, including the Magic Cafe, the Genie Forums, and our humble site, iTricks, about Sean Farquhar's win for Grand Prix of Close-Up Magic. More specifically, charges were leveled by first people other than Russ Stevens, and then kind of Russ Stevens himself, that Farquhar's signature Shape of My Heart routine borrowed heavily from the routine that Stevens had done for longer and on television before Farquhar began performing it. Of course, the big similarity is the fact that they both use the same Sting song, Shape of My Heart. Bizarro, on the merits of this particular dispute, do you think Farquhar's FISM win is tainted either fairly or unfairly?
Well, it depends on whose eyes you're talking about. Are you talking about just tainted in general or tainted in his eyes, or what are you talking about exactly?
I'd love to hear both, but let's start with, everything on the internet stays around forever. I think Tim Ellis made the point that if you Google Sean Farquhar FISM win, you're probably going to have these pages pop up, at least in the short term. So is that unfair to him?
Probably a little bit, but at the same time, I don't know if anybody, like any non-magicians are going to be Googling Sean Farquhar FISM win unless Sean tells people to look for him that way.
True. I think if we're going to say ground rules, this pretty much only affects the magic community.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the lay people audience that cares.
Yeah, that's one of those things when I was following all this, I was just looking at going, is it just me or are we the only ones who give a damn about this?
I mean, most definitely. There is nobody outside the magic community that could be bothered to hear about whether Sean Farquhar, ripped off Russ Stevens' routine, because most likely anybody, won't know one or both of those people. But, I mean,
exactly.
But the thing is this is an insular community. We do talk to each other a lot. It is very, very connected. So, I mean, I think on one level it is, it does kind of suck that right after winning, he's got to deal with this.
Well, yeah, that is, right after, I admit that was kind of crap to have that just all of a sudden be like, well, great, I won and now everybody hates me. Woohoo!
Yeah. it really isn't like everybody, but, I think it is that's certainly how you feel when, the internet has a very funny way of magnifying things. Like if one person in a crowd of 100 said you suck in person, you'd be like, well, there's still 99 people who like me. But if on the internet, only one person writes in a comment thread and says you suck, all of a sudden it seems like the world's crashing down around you sometimes.
Well, I've talked to Sean Farquhar a few times in person. I've met him at conventions. He's a pretty nice guy. And from all the stuff I've read him posting, he seems to have a pretty level head on his shoulders. I don't think this actually gets to him that much. I mean, I'm sure at first he was kind of like, well, what the hell is this? But I think he finally realized it's the internet and he...
Yeah. I believe so. Now, just real quick, in looking over what the charges were, any merit in your eyes?
Honestly, I've watched... I watched both routines. There's only like one piece of footage floating around from 1993 of Russ Stevens doing his act. And Farquhar's routine I've seen live and I've seen all over the place. And I watched it and I went, neither one of these routines are the same whatsoever, except for the fact that the obvious use of showing there's three lines that mention three specific cards and they produce those cards. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's of course, any magician's going to do that. If you're smart, do that. You go with the song if you're using it. But Russ Stevens is doing a manipulation routine that I might add is a bit weird and jerky and fast for such a slow song. Like, I watched that go on, this doesn't even really go with the music except for those, like, three parts. and Farquhar's is a lot much slower, and it's an ambitious card routine, but it... And I'm watching it going, but at first everybody was... The debate got muddled because everybody is focusing on, they're the same act, they're not the same act. I think what the original thing was, it was getting inspired from one other person's act to use like a certain song and then winning with it. And I think that kind of became what it was without permission. But of course, I'm watching this going, first off, neither of the routines are the same in any respect. The real common thread is the song they're using. So at that point, I don't think anybody has room to bitch because they're only using the same song. Both routines are completely different.
True. Now, we mentioned the difference between inside the magic community and outside the magic community. And the only point I would make is that if you were to show two completely different routines to the same song and it was a magician alone on stage doing card work, I guarantee you a portion of the lay audience, and right or wrong, would think that they were way closer routines because just that song is, the thing that will stick out in their minds. No matter how different we know it is.
That's quite possible. No, that is quite possible. I mean, but this isn't the first time that magicians have used the same music for damn near the same tricks. I've seen two rope routines done to Enya's Orinoco Flow in my life, and they were pretty similar routines done by two different people. And I'm watching this going, and this was in the same week. I saw this in the same week in two different venues. I'm like, what the is this about?
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, this was such a big story here on iTricks. We're going to do two segments on this controversy. Bizarro, do you think that these flame wars have any kind of benefit for inside the community? Does it, you know, help anybody?
I don't know. I mean, in situations like this, if details that need to get sorted out, you know, you can get people to come out of the woodwork, even the people who wouldn't normally talk about it. Like Russ Stevens, nobody really heard of him until, I mean, people heard of him, but nobody really, now a lot of people know who he is because of this big back and forth. So it's like, in one way, it's one of those things, if you want, and Magic community is real bad about this. If we dislike something, we will bitch about it in the blue streak forever and point more attention to it. We hang a giant neon sign over it going, look. But if we like it, we go, oh, this is cool. What's next?
Yeah.
We're real bad about that. So in some cases, it's a good way to garner more attention for yourself. I know it's, you know, some of it can be negative, but at the same time, people might look at you and go, oh, well, yeah, well, he may have maybe kind of stolen that, but this is cool. I like this much better. You know, it can go either direction because people are just so damned wacky.
Absolutely. Now, here's the only thing that I will say that is beneficial for Sean Farquhar from this whole thing. You know, this controversy exploded, at least on our site, because people kept sending me the blog post made on that Weekly Magic Failure website, which is, I think, sure that the debate was ongoing before he put his thing up there. But as far as people were sending me hey, you got to pay attention to this link, that's where it came from. Now, there's either an element of Sean's personality or, you know, maybe, you know, through the way he's gone about his career, he's rubbed people the wrong way, or maybe people just have it out for him. I don't know. I've never met the guy, but I do know that there seems to be a contingent online that's kind of got it out for him. And I think to a certain extent, they're passionate enough that they may not take all the facts into consideration when, you know, wanting to kind of get after him. Here's my point.
An angry mob?
An angry mob. We can say an angry mob. Now, if we were to presuppose that these people will always just kind of have it out for Sean Farquhar, it is beneficial that right after this FISM thing, these people have made their case. He's been able to lay out the reasoning on why he is justified in doing X, Y, and Z. He's answered every question that's been posed. And now, you know, it's cut and dry. If 6 months from now somebody says, oh, yeah, well, I mean, Sean Farquhar won, but he still ripped off that Russ Stevens thing, he can point to the Magic Cafe, he can point to iTricks, he can point to the Genie forums and say, or anybody who's defending him can say, hey, listen, he went over this point by point right after FISM, so these have no legitimacy. And I think that's good in the long run for him.
Sure, but people are going to believe what they're going to believe regardless. You know, you could have the facts staring you dead in the face and they'll be like, you're wrong. What? But look, facts. Facts, these are true. And they're like, no, those facts are wrong.
Absolutely.
It's just human nature. That's the problem with this. And I went on to Tim Ellis's blog because apparently all this has made him kind of, you know, stick his head in the sand and say, screw you people, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I posted one of my favorite sayings, and that was, arguing on the internet is like racing in the Special Olympics. Even if you win, you're still retarded.
Yes.
And I know that's kind of harsh, but it's totally true. I mean, you really have to at some point just step back and go, okay, I've said my piece. Like, right now, Russ Stevens is kind of looking kind of like a dink because he keeps saying, I'm done with this. And then two posts later, he's posting again on the Magic Cafe. And it's like, dude, you said your piece, knock it off. Now you're looking like a desperate tool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, those are your words, not mine. But I do believe that that Ellis, I hope he doesn't, you know, actually kind of take his ball and go home. Because I think, you know, for his blog was fantastic over the last week, especially during FISM, between the pictures, and he just published, like, you know, the actual score sheets and stuff. Like, I thought it was a great look kind of behind the curtain. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, Magic Unlimited, check out the Ellison Webster blog.
And he could pull a Morgan, and, you know, and just say, oh, I was kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and then also, like, you know, there is, I guess retiring from magic is kind of like retiring from, rap and professional wrestling. Like, it really is just kind of another word for a break.
A good analogy there.
I try, Biz.
Yeah.
Keith Barry collapsed on stage this week during a Dublin show after he was allegedly struck by food poisoning. According to the Herald, he went off stage and vomited before returning to the stage and finishing with an encore trick. Bizarro, what's the worst injury or ailment you've battled through to finish a show?
I can tell you there's been three pretty screwed up things. When I was younger, I was doing a thing where I was pretending to pull, vines painted green, so they wrote, dyed green, but they're supposed to be vines because we were at a wildflower festival. I was supposed to be pulling them and they were stuck, and I would they'd break loose and I'd fall back on my back and roll up on my feet and just kind of look around and be like, ooh, what was that? I actually landed on my tailbone, which hurt like hell. I rolled up and I stood up and I almost blacked out, like right there, but I was in so much pain I could barely, like, almost keep awake. I mean, I felt myself just wanting to black out right there, and I'm just like, don't do it. Don't do it. So that was pretty harsh. I was doing, back when I used to do some black art table illusions, I jumped off the back of a table, scraped my shin, I think on my left leg, from my knee to my ankle down the front on the back of the table, which I didn't feel it at all. It was fine. So at the rest of the show, I ignored it. But as soon as the adrenaline cut off, I couldn't walk. It hurt like bad. But I think the worst pain, in all honesty, is I was performing at a place in Dallas, and I leaned down to pick something up, and my right knee decided to pop out of socket briefly for like a second, just go and back in to the other place. And it hurt like, I couldn't, that took me about 3 months to get to the point where I didn't feel it or I could walk normally again, because that hurt like hell. And I'm lucky to be still have my knee working after that from everybody I've talked to.
I'll tell you what, the funniest / worst of these stories that I think we've ever heard on this podcast, and I don't remember. I hope we ran it. I hope it was on the episode. Simon Drake told a story of he was performing, and I can't remember who it was for, but I think it was Elton John or something. He was doing a Dancing Cane routine and wound up falling through a hole in the stage. But the way that he fell, he fell and like he landed like right on his back. So like he was, it was one of those things where it's like, the doctors tell you afterward, like if you would have been 6 inches to the right or to the left, you would have snapped your spine and been dead instantly kind of thing. But the funniest thing is that the way he fell, because the lights were strobing, it made it look like he had just disappeared into thin air. And since he was doing a magic act, the crowd went nuts. So there's this standing ovation while he's like barely conscious, 6 inches away from never walking again and or dying.
Well, if you're going to go out with a bang.
Exactly. And that is why Simon Drake is a visionary professional in this industry.
So I will say one thing, though. Trap door mesh with a strobe light, not a bad idea for a vanish. You're right in front of people. It's a good idea.
There we go. All right. Biz, you got a new thing coming out, color-changing sponge ball. Tell us about it.
Well, in my pursuit to be more lazy and not have to use sleight of hand, I wanted something a little better for me. Because I used to do a color change, with a shuttle pass. And if you don't know what a shuttle pass is, listeners, you need to get the hell off the magic sites and start reading some books. Anyway, I wanted to be able to push a ball into my hand, ask somebody to name a color, and no matter what color they named, I would always say green, just because, ooh, sorry, I can only do green, and open my hand and be clean, not have to worry about ditching a ball or anything like that. So I said, oh, what can I do? What can I do? And I came up with a method it's been thought about after talking to Steve Goshman, but it had not been overly pursued because there were some things he couldn't suss out, and at least this is part of the conversation we've had. But I came up with how to do a nice color-changing sponge ball that doesn't involve dyes or anything weird like that. And so and if anybody's seen the video, which you can see on my website, smapdoodah.com, and just there's a link for the store, you can go see it.
Can you hear? Just real quick, spell smapdoodah.com, just so everybody knows.
Yes. S-M, as in Mary, S-M-A-P-P-D-O-O-D-A.com. And there, if you look around on the site, there's actually an explanation for where snapdude.com comes from, but I'm not going to tell you. You've got to find it. It's more fun that way. I've actually had people who are like, I don't understand your vending machine. It's not very intuitive. I said, well, then you don't need to buy my products, because if you can't figure that out, then you really don't need to be messing with razor blades or anything.
Ever the salesman bizarro. Just get out of the store. Just get out of the store if you can't figure out the vending machine.
You know, if I was Jewish, I'd be a terrible Jew. It would just be like, don't buy that. Don't buy that. At least that's what my Jewish friend says. He's like, oh, we're going to make you a good Jew yet. I was like, I doubt that. But anyway, it's not my point.
I don't know whether or not to cut that, by the way. I don't know if that was the first racial comment that I might have to cut off of the Magic Week in Review in the history of this podcast. I don't know.
Oh, come on, man. I was talking to my friend. My Jewish friend says that the Jewish people have a pretty good sense of humor about their stuff. So I don't know. I mean, at least I didn't use like some really offensive slang term.
No,
come on,
you know what? Yeah, no, there is that. So here we go. I'm going to leave it in. And if you think that Bizarro's a racist, remember show@itricks.com. Show@itricks.com. Write early and often.
I'm not racist. Hey, everybody. But seriously, now, yeah, color changing SpongeBob, it just enables you to color change a SpongeBob visually or magically, depending how you feel like it. And it's being pre-sale right now. I'm having a pre-sale sale. They're actually cheaper now on my website because they're coming out. I'm releasing them on my birthday this month. I said, screw it. What better birthday gift for myself than spending the day at the post office?
There we go. All right, color changing SpongeBob, you can visit smapdoodah.com and, now, you are working with Mr. Nathan Burton right now, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Kind of. There's a gentleman, my friend Jungle Josh. He kind of has this street magician mafia out here. It's called Magic Cabaret on the Strip. MCOTS, MCOTS.com is the website. It's not finished. We just got it up to the day. But it's Magic Cabaret on the Strip, guys. There's about a dozen street performers who work four different venues out here, and a lot of them work in front of the Flamingo Hotel here in Vegas for Nathan Burton. And what we do is we do street magic, gather a crowd, we get tips and everything, which is nice. But we also have a buffet and a show deal, and it's a $60 value, but for only $19.95 and blah, 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 all this stuff. You get a great buffet, you get a Nathan Burton comedy magic show. And with his recent appearances on the America's Got Talent, the sales have been pretty good for that. But I know how that turned out. So you know, it's been really good. But he's kind of our boss out there. The Flamingo, we schlepped tickets for him, and he's been very happy with us. So we're very happy with that.
Tell you what, man, he is a hustler, and that's a great, great thing. And hey, if you are, you know, into magic, and sweet Lord knows there's going to be plenty of people into magic there over the next week with Magic Live coming up.
And LVMI, which I will be performing at Friday afternoon.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah, you know, there's going to be plenty of people out there. Make sure you check out outside the Flamingo Casino. I know I'll be there when I'm in Vegas.
Yeah, we're there. There's people there from like 11 o'clock. To 11 p.m. I mean, there's like three different shifts throughout the day.
I'm just going to be hanging out. I got to figure out a mobile way to live stream. I got to figure out something. Because,
well, you know, if you could always live stream, I don't know. I mean, can you not take your laptop and do it? Or
no, I can. I'll just have to figure out something. Because I want to do, when we're out in Vegas, man, I just want to be on the internet 24/7.
Are you going to be out here for Magic Live?
I will. I'll be there.
Oh, well, hell, we'll actually get to hang out, maybe.
Live and direct. Absolutely. Yeah, no, last time I was there for like 12 hours, and I saw 15 shows. I wasn't able to run into you, but this time we will definitely make it happen. All right.
Thank you for every show behind.
Oh, stop.
I'm just messing with you.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, you know, I hate to see that.
And, of course. All right, so check out Bizarro outside the Flamingo. And, of course, Why Am I Stuck in Magician Hell, which remains one of my favorite blogs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I've noticed I was reading, again, Tim Ellis' blog, and he made a mention about how a lot of the ones that he has listed are defunct now and gone. And I went, yeah, I guess I have been doing this for about 5 years. It's like I feel like the one guy left standing. You know, I feel like Jerry Lee Lewis is kind of, well, where does everybody else go?
Yeah.
Who started... heard of this with me. Crap.
Yeah, it's a relatively transient community, but you've done a pretty good job of, you know, maintaining and everything. And I feel like now, I really like where the tone of the blog is now, because I feel like the, like, let me just scream and rant at things element. There are some other people doing it, and it's just kind of more your philosophy, which I think is good. It's not so much a, hey, you know what's horrible? Let me point out all these horrible things.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the beginning of it, and that was, you know, 5 years ago. So
yeah.
But every so often, something just crawls right up my ass, and I just want to be very angry about something, because, you know, and I tell people this all the time. It's like, I love magic. I love doing magic. I love entertaining people. But I really sometimes just hate a lot of magicians, because they really are just tools, in my opinion. So I'm just kind of like, well, this has to be said. It's like the emperor has to be pointed out that they're wearing no clothes. Somebody has to do it. So it'll be me, and I won't make any friends, but that's okay.
Well, you made a friend in me. How about that?
That's true. You should edit in a big, aw, right there. That'd be nice.
There we go. Applause break. Let's get into some feedback from our listeners. Remember, show at itricks.com is how you get to us. Or if you want to @reply the iTricks Twitter account, just make sure you make note that you're referring to the podcast. Maybe a hashtag MWIR to let me know that this is for the podcast and not just a general shout out. But @reply iTricks on Twitter with your feedback to this or any other episode. But let's get into the stuff we got in last week. Jim McRae wrote, I just listened to this week's podcast and was very surprised to hear you and Luke Dancy expressing the opinion that magic couldn't be presented on the radio. I'm sure that you might agree that Juan Tamarez is a leading figure in the magic world. He released a book not too long ago entitled Verbal Magic that is all about the magical theater of the mind, as you might phrase it. Then there's one of your young podcasting competitors, dun dun dun, the Magic Newswire, which regularly features a radio magician from Australia, who I believe is referring to Adam Mata. But more importantly, if you think of theatrical history, Edgar Bergen, was one of the leading performers of the 20th century. He was, as I'm sure you know, a ventriloquist. Yet, Bergen was able to sustain a radio program for something like 20 years as a ventriloquist. I'm guessing no one saw his lips move in that format. Anything can be done on the radio if it is done with imagination and done well. Again, that is Jim McRae. Which I do want to point out, because the other, let me just read the other email and then I'll get into it. This is from Colasar. Hello, Justin. First off, I love the podcast and I've been listening for quite a while now. I'm sure you've received a lot of email regarding this topic, but just in case, Juan Tamarez did a year of radio shows and published a large number of the effects in Verbal Magic. The effects were not performed for other people in the studio, but effects performed for listeners, with the listeners participating at home with cards, pieces of paper, etc. And then also they speak Danish in Denmark, which I think maybe me and Luke were dumb enough to say that they spoke something else. Let me just get this out of the way. In terms, first, thank you, everybody, and please, everybody, show at itricks.com for your feedback. But it's not that I think that it's impossible to be done on the radio. I just think that it's a different medium, and it's a very, very difficult medium. I think that you really have to have your ducks in a row theoretically. You have to know your theory on what and how your effect is going to hit your audience, more so than in a live setting where you can kind of let your natural charisma sort of patch up any holes. I think you really got to know what's going on the radio to do it right. And I think, you know, Juan is a great example of that. And I'm sure that Rune Clan, who I think we were talking about last week, has done a fantastic job in his radio stuff as well. But what do you think, Bizarro? Is it an easy thing to do? Do you think it's just a matter of, learning a different kind of trick?
Well, first off, I'm just kind of amused at the thought of Juan Tamarez doing radio magic, because half the fun of watching him is watching him just kind of be crazy, and he talks pretty fast. I'm just trying to imagine him on the radio speaking English doing magic, and people are going, what? I don't know. I'm just amused by this. But I've done a few things on the radio a long time ago. You know, and my problem I had with most radio magic, a lot of the basic stuff is all math based. And anybody listening to it who has, you know, knows anything about math or anything just goes, well, they're just doing math. I don't know the math, but they're doing it. And that's why I hate math anyway. I'm terrible at it. That's why I'm a magician. But I know people who do very well Dunninger. Dunninger used to kill on the radio. You know, that was one of his bread and butters back in the day. But that was also when radio was the only entertainment. So that's kind of a good point. So now I will say one thing. I've done magic for the people, the radio DJs on radio stations. And if you have a proper DJ explaining what's going on, like I did the razor blade routine, you know, on radio for people, and the DJ actually described it so well. People were calling in saying that they were gagging while driving because they could just visualize what I was doing. So
wow.
In some cases, yeah, and that's what I said. I went, really? Holy crap. So in some cases, if it's presented right, you don't have to do it to anybody through the radio. You can actually do it for somebody there, and if they describe it well enough, they will feel like they're watching it with you. However, radio magic, I did one thing totally. You have to be real, real explicit with your directions, because if you screw up, they screw up one little thing, generally you are boned right there, right then and there. So it is, I agree, it is difficult, but if you have a few of them under your belt and you know what you're doing, you can kill with it. So.
All right. Well, there we go. One more time, show@iTricks.com. As we mentioned at the top of the program, Drew Thomas advanced to the round of 20 on America's Got Talent this week. Bizarro, any advice on how Drew could take his magic to the next level for these critical final rounds?
Bribes, I think. Money bribes. Gifts. I think sleeping with Sharon Osbourne might help.
All right.
Okay, no, I'm kidding. Well, sort of kidding, but
sure.
After being on America's Got Talent, I realized you really only want. If you watch the guys who have progressed and/or not progressed, they do one thing. They don't try to muddle the routine. They don't try to do like a dove act. They don't try to do a manipulation routine. They come out. They do one thing that has one easy to follow point. And that is the secret to doing well on that show, is do one thing that America and the judges can follow from start to finish instead of trying to do three or four, five, six things in a row because they're just going to get lost.
Yeah.
And so as long as he keeps up with that really simple, I think he does, you know, I saw the last thing he did with the people ending up in the box and him scaring the hell out of them behind him. And I went, oh, that was cute. That was very nice. And of course, I do know that it's, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who do not know this, here's my little public service announcement. Reality TV is not based in reality whatsoever. So you know. I have a feeling that what might end up happening is what has happened every year. He's going to get real far, but a singer is going to win. If a singer does not win, if he wins this year, I'm gonna just be like, great, fabulous, and I'm also gonna be a little suspicious that they're trying to throw people off. But
yeah,
just, you know, try to lose them in the river there. It's like, oh, they figured us out. they figured out we're a cheapo, we're a knockoff American Idol. We gotta do something.
Yeah.
But honestly, after Charlie Caper winning in Sweden's Got Talent, America's Got Talent may be trying to follow suit. So we'll see. But I don't. No offense to Drew and his skill and his presentation, but I can't say I have high hopes for him making it all the way through to the end.
Here is my only, you know, completely mind-numbingly stupid suggestion. When we interviewed everybody from Phenomenon, the one overarching thing that everybody said was as soon as, I forget who did it first, somebody did a Russian roulette routine, all the producers wanted was Russian roulette. They went to everybody's dressing room and said, hey, you know, that Russian roulette thing was really, really good. Let's figure it out. How about you do it with snakes and you do it with, you know, garden shears and you do it with mummies and you do it with something else. And the only guy who didn't was Mike Super, and Mike Super wound up winning. So considering the fact that Drew Thomas made his first big splash with Things That Go Bump in the Night and did very, very well, the trick he did to get into the round of 20 was another, you know, all of a sudden the people show up where they're not supposed to kind of thing. Very similar in terms of where the big shot comes in. I think he plays great on stage, but he's got to do something different, especially for the next round. It can't just be another, oh, the ladies are where the guys are supposed to be, or, you know, he was all in the box and now he's not kind of thing.
You realize as people exposed to magic like you and I are, we know the difference. I was talking about this last night to somebody. You know, magicians differentiate rope trick, coin trick, card trick. Non-magicians look at it and go, magic trick.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like to the American public, they just go, oh, he appeared behind them. They don't think back a week and go, oh, that was very similar. They don't dissect it. I mean, we do because it's what we do, but I don't think they're going to view it that way, but I agree. He should do something else, and it's going to be really interesting to see what he does try to do. Or he may end up getting screwed like they did with Kevin James, and they make him do something incredibly lame, and they go, oh, sorry, you did so well the first two times, and this was, you know, spot board. What were you thinking, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, that really, really, really was a shame. So
the producers, you were right, the producers are the ones who say, we want you to do this. Even if you say, I'd rather not, they say, well, do you? No, we're not. Okay.
Well, that's, you know, wasn't that, that's what happened with Kevin James, is he wanted to do Snow. Or he wanted to do, or the Floating Rose, one of the two. I think, no, it wasn't Snow, because Nathan Burton had just done that in the year previous. But he wanted to do, like, the Floating Rose, but there was such a response to his, you know, kind of darker, you know, the sawing in half routine thing that he does, that they were like, no, you can't do something really sweet and treacly right after this crazy sci-fi horror thing. You got to do something else that's crazy, macabre, sci-fi horror. And he wound up doing the Reanimator bit, which didn't work obviously as well as, you know, he might have hoped, I think it's safe to say.
Well, and also, I don't know what was up with the presentation either. I think his original presentation, the way he used to do it, would have been much better than the giant, you know, freezer and hazmat suit. I don't know what the fuck that was about, but
yeah.
And I just, I'm
thanks
sorry,
for,
just
thanks for making me
beat.
Edit
sorry.
This, Bizarro. I could have just, I could have just put this right into the thing, but now I got to take down a time and,
And a racial slur, I know. Not slur, a racial remark. I know, I'm a horrible person. This is the last time I'm on here. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll just wrap this up. How about we, since it's gotten so awkward, we'll just wrap it up here. Bizarro, of course, you can find at smapdoodah.com. It is color-changing SpongeBob. You can see the preview there. It is very well done. I really do enjoy the editing on your preview video, by the way.
Well, you know, I wanted something. I was actually laying in bed trying to think before I went to sleep one night. And I was like, I need to come up with a way to do a video. Before I went to bed, it hit me. I went, oh, I'll just throw the ball to myself. That'll be awesome. Because, you know, I just am getting sicker. And I think the only video I've seen so far that kind of has deviated from that whole, and no offense to Theory 11 or those guys, but, you know, it's like it's all the editing. It's one of those things when somebody has a good idea, everybody else wants it too. So
yeah.
All the editing is kind of on that direction. And I went, this isn't me. I'm not going to do that. The only video I've seen that was a very similar or not very similar was Bro Gilbert's Deep 3 deck, where he made fun of that at the beginning, and then he kind of cut it and said, okay, what's up with this? This isn't right. No, let's just do the trick. You know, it was very funny. And, you know, I wanted something that fits my style because I'm just not, you know, I'm not street Bizarro, so, you know.
Yeah. Although that would be a pretty funny alter ego. I think I'd like to see the street Bizarro point of view on things.
Well, sadly, I do sponge balls and I do, like, a thumb tip routine, so it's like, I don't know if anybody would really care.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see, like, you doing the sponge balls, but, like, you're wearing, like, you know, it's the slow pan
like
of
Houdini.
You, you know, walking out of the helicopter or whatever, like all the Theory 11 videos and, you know, the sun, you know, the setting behind you, Michael Bay style, slow motion, black and white, grainy film for some reason.
Totally. You know, I can do it. You remember my snow blinds video. You know, I can do it.
I know. All right. Well, check them out. And you're not on Twitter, are you?
Say again?
Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not a twit. I do not care for Twitter very much. So.
All right. Then, you know, nothing to follow there. But make sure you go and you visit Bizarro and read Why Am I Stuck in Magician Hell? But that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Magic Week in Review. One more time, show at itricks.com for all of your feedback. And please keep it coming because it has been great over the last couple weeks. I would like to give my deepest thanks to Bizarro for joining us one more time. Thank you, Bizarro.
No problem, man. It's my pleasure to hear your sultry, sexy voice.
And until next week, I am Justin Robert Young for itricks.com.
itricks.com.